Tango Tango Papa 1903, April 3rd, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Columbus, Ohio. So, it's been quite a number of days since the last audio podcast. I was home for the 5 days that I usually take off towards the end of the month, beginning of the month, and so I came back to work yesterday, April the 2nd. Today was April the 3rd. Actually, it still is. So I'm on my way. They had me pick a load up yesterday afternoon at Joplin, Missouri. And then that load delivers to Bedford, Pennsylvania, on the afternoon. I need to be there by, I believe, I'll have to look, by 2. It's either by, I think, by 2:30 in the afternoon, I think. I'll have to look at that and make sure. But in any case, I have plenty of time to make it there. So I went ahead and stopped here at the company terminal in Columbus, because it's an easy place to park at, and didn't really want to have to go through the hassle of trying to find a parking spot in any of the truck stops on east of here. It might have been easy, but then again, maybe not. You never know. So it really didn't matter. So it was just as easy to go ahead and stop here. So anyway, weather wise it's kind of been cool, and then it's while I was home we had some warmer days, and then after I came back to work last night it was raining, and then it's kind of been rainy all day today, rainy and overcast, and it's I don't know, there may be a little bit of drizzle at this point right now here. Or the last time I looked when I stopped, the truck thermometer said 45 degrees, and the weather widget on the phone is saying that it's supposed to get down to 33 degrees for the low, at least here in Columbus. So that and at home there in Northwest Arkansas, they're holding out the possibility that it could even freeze. When I looked at the weather widget earlier when I was over in eastern Indiana, it was saying that their low there, I believe that was around New Lisbon, Indiana, they were suggesting that their low was going to be 26 degrees. So it was, they're thinking there, at least at that point, that it was definitely going to freeze. But you never really know. You just have to wait and see what happens. But it definitely can freeze, because it's now we're in early April, and it can still freeze, and it can still snow. It just, you never know. So anyhow, what I have a piece of audio sent to me by Joel McLaughlin, and so I'm going to go ahead and play that and make a response to it. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. This is Joel McLaughlin. Just listening to your show. That, I don't know when it came out, probably yesterday or the day before, probably, but anyway, you know, about podcasting, I'm still paying for my hosting, although I probably haven't posted in over 6 months right now. One of the things that I've just been too busy. I work from home all the time, and I always sit at a computer. And a lot of times, just wanting to sit at a computer is just not something I want to do. I want to get off work, although I usually do a little bit every day, just because I can't help it. But it's just that's one of the many things I do. You know, I record one with a group. That's a little bit easier to maintain than one without a group, mostly because we kind of feel accountable to each other. So we usually show up, and it's actually easier to do a group because when you're with a group, if one or two of you can't make it, hey, that's okay. Now it ends up working out. I know you used to do one. And by the way, I miss that too. The one that used to do whole agenda with Ron Stroop. I know he's had some medical issues over the years, but I do miss that. I did enjoy listening to you and Ron talk about different things. So maybe that's what you can do. Maybe you can bring back the whole agenda even on this own feed. But I would never feel guilty about not podcasting, mostly because I completely understand. You know, it's a different world now than it was when podcasting started. We have more distractions, you know. Especially true of yourself since you're a truck driver. You know, when you're a truck driver, back then when podcasting started, we didn't have smartphones. We didn't have tablets and phone and all this other stuff that we have today. We didn't have Netflix streaming to a tablet. You know, we had to have a computer to stream Netflix. And even back then, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot on Netflix to watch. So, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a completely different world since we don't have as much time for podcasts. You know, a lot of the old school podcasters have faded. Some of the ones I used to listen to, everyone I listen to now is way different than it was back in 2007. And that's okay. You know, everyone has different priorities. I'll still occasionally podcast on my own feed, but you know, it's just, I don't make it a priority. Although I am thinking about doing some other podcasting things just because I like to podcast. And I just don't like to do the personal ones near as much as I used to do. So that's really all I have to say, and I'll go back to listen to your show.
Okay, Joel, thank you for the comment. Now, it's possible that because I talked to Ron Stroop at least once a month, sometimes more frequently than that. It just kind of depends on the phone, and we usually have a nice long conversation. So it would be certainly possible, I think, for us to do some more podcasts together. I don't see why not. I'm sure Ron would. Ron's always up for talking. And I'll tell him that I said that. He knows that. So that's entirely possible that we could do that. Now, as far, you know, you're talking about podcasting and how things have changed, and that's certainly true. Things have changed. And over time, people change as well. The environment changes, because that's kind of what we're talking about as far as the technology changing, and there's more things to potentially occupy us, et cetera, et cetera. But people change as well. People's priorities shift. And that's why it's possible that you can seem to be friends with somebody for a while, and then they just sort of go their way and you go yours, and you may never, there is no ongoing relationship that has continued ongoing reaction, or action and reaction between the two parties. And then in other cases, you have you can meet somebody and become friends with them, and then that can end up becoming a more of a long-term relationship where there's ongoing interaction. And in those cases, both parties really have to contribute, at least in my experience. Both parties have to want to be, they have to be motivated to contribute to the ongoing relationship. In other words, they have to make both sides have to be motivated to make an effort to continue the ongoing interaction. And people, as I say, can kind of change and evolve differently. And so that's why imagine that people are on their various paths. Then it's possible that you have someone on they're on one path and you're on the other path, and those paths may intersect for a while. But then ultimately they go their way and you kind of go yours, and your tastes change, for example. Their tastes change, and then you no longer really have anything in common with them. So that certainly happens in the world of podcasting, and so it and at this point, it's interesting if you think of it in these terms. If let's say you have a bunch of old podcasts saved, now it might be kind of fun to probably not go back and listen to them. Probably wouldn't. Let's say you had podcasts from 2000 or late 2004 when they first started appearing, 2005 and 2006. Would you listen to them now? In most cases, you wouldn't, because the stuff is so outdated, especially if they were talking about kind of current technology, and those seem to be the types of podcasts that I've listened to mostly. And there would be really no point in trying to go back and kind of listen to that stuff anymore, because people have changed. My tastes, I guess you could say, my tastes have changed, and what I'm kind of interested in has changed. And so, in a way, people can look back and they say, well, it was kind of a different time, and it certainly was. But at the same time, things continue to move forward. Things continue to change and evolve. So, along those lines, I've been, you mentioned the streaming stuff. And I don't think people really, I wonder how many people really grasp what an incredible resource YouTube is. Lately, I've been watching these videos, and these people are hobbyists. It started out, I was watching, and I'm still watching, videos of people that are just head over heels in love from a hobbyist standpoint, or beyond with old video technology. So, for in particular, they're interested in CRT televisions, old black and white and old color televisions. Going back into the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and continue, and of course they made televisions. They continued to make CRTs and sell them, I think up until the, and maybe up in as late as 2006. I'd actually have to look. And maybe even there might have been one company or two that were continuing after that. But at this point, CRT production is no more. It's gone. Nowhere in the world are CRTs being produced anymore. But you have these people that this is sort of a hobby that they have. And so they collect these old television sets. And they've got the equipment to kind of measure them. And so it would be like in the old days, these people could have had their own television repair business. But even the television repair businesses at this point, the ones that are still left, they're pretty much working on flat panel stuff. And so now CRT repair and that type of television, that's mostly just a kind of, if it's occurring at all, it's occurring with hobbyist stuff. But in any case, these people are making these videos where they're turning on the television and they've got the camera aimed at the TV tube, and they're kind of seeing what happens, and they kind of walk through, this is, we're going to go through this step and that step and that step to see if we can adjust this television so that it's able to produce a picture. And then they talk about replacing the capacitors and resistors and measuring this and measuring that. And I have absolutely no interest in CRT technology. But I find watching these videos of these other people that are really, really interested in it, I kind of enjoy watching them. It's kind of bizarre. It would be akin to the people that watch videos of other people playing video games. But I've been watching videos like that, particularly with the old, different old televisions. But that technology, if you really look at that now, and it seems like, of course, it hasn't been that long since we all got rid of our CRT televisions. It hasn't really been that long, but it seems to me like it's just been forever. And then you look back, and that the technology really seems incredibly clunky. It was a clunky technology. But at the same time, the idea that you have this tube that is able to produce a picture is kind of with the added electronics, and obviously you had the electronics and the electronic signals. But nonetheless, that was a kind of a strange technology. It caused the phosphors to glow and it would produce a picture, a recognizable image. Very strange, but nonetheless, very clunky technology. Now, there's a lot of these old sets that are around that continue to work. There are videos that people have put up of really, TVs from the 40s and the 50s, and they can turn them on, and they still work to this day. They still function. They're still able to function. And I dare say that there's a lot of the flat panels that are being produced today, 50 or 60 years from now, will not work anymore. They probably won't work 5 years from now. It's hard to say. But I don't know. Getting back to the podcasting thing, it has changed a lot, but Certainly, I'm listening to some different stuff than I did. To a large extent, I'm listening to different stuff than I did when I first found podcasts. But the idea is still kind of the same. It gives me pretty well complete control over what I am consuming as far as media. And it doesn't have to be just absolutely professional stuff. It's quasi-professional, or maybe not professional at all. But it's just kind of depends on what I'm interested in, and sometimes my tastes do change. As far as podcasts go. Now, in the past, most recent times, I'm listening to quite a bit to home theater type stuff. That type of the and there's a few podcasts that are kind of centered around that topic. There's home automation that's kind of interesting, they keep saying home automation, but I was thinking today it's really more what I'm interested in is more of the remote control aspect, being able to monitor my home remotely or kind of change things remotely via the Nest thermostat. But as far as the automation part of it goes, I have the automatic temperature part of the Nest thermostat turned off. All I'm really interested in, because of my, I'm gone for so much of the time, and then I'm home just for a few days, it's really useful for me to be able to just turn, to control that completely by myself and not try to get the Nest thermostat involved with it, because it would never be able to understand how I use it, because the pattern doesn't really match if someone is kind of around a lot more often. So, and then of course when my parents are there, it's a little bit different story, but still it really doesn't. It's an odd pattern. I leave the automation part turned off. So I really don't care about the automation as much, at all, in fact. But I do like the remote home, the ability to kind of remotely monitor my home, as well as control certain aspects of it remotely. And I think that's, as far as the home automation part, people come up with some pretty silly ideas about, well, you get within so far and it's gonna adjust this and adjust that and turn this on and make you some coffee and, or gradually bring the lights up when it's time for you to wake up and those kind of things. And that's sort of silly. But I'm listening to that kind of stuff, but at one time, years ago, I was listening to a few podcasts that were, they were playing music, different types of music and what have you, and I grew tired of that pretty quickly. So, I don't know, as I say, people change, people evolve, and motivations change, and it as I've always said, podcasting, at least as far as me being motivated to do it, it's all about motivation, and I have to be motivated to do it, and my motivation, for whatever reason, and it's really kind of hard to say why. Can't really say why, but my motivation over time has changed. It's changed from, kind of doing, at one time I was doing a podcast virtually every day, and I did that for a long time, versus now, where it's just occasionally. It's much more occasionally, and that's just kind of the way that it has shaken out. So anyway, as I said in the last podcast, I'm not going to end it, because it would be really easy to just say, well, this is the end, tired of this, move on. But I'm not going to do that, because I do enjoy doing it when I do it. So kind of on my own terms, this will continue as long as I feel motivated to do it. And the motivation to do it in large part depends on what am I getting out of it. I do find that I get the most out of the podcast when I end up talking about topics that I've been thinking about. And one of those topics that I was thinking about is privacy. Because we hear, right to privacy, governments invading our privacy, and we have personal privacy, and that seems like kind of like a nebulous term. But then if you really think about it, what is privacy? What is privacy? Now, if you just imagine you're alone there by yourself in your room, I'm sitting here in my truck, I'm completely alone, windows are rolled up, so I'm alone, essentially. Now, is this private? Well, I guess it is. You could say, and it depends on how you look at it, you could say it's private, but then again, I believe there's this thing called conscience. There's this, it's almost like there's something watching us as human beings. There's this thing that's there with us. In a real sense, it's here with me. And of course, I'm friends with it, and I won't do anything to violate that that friendship or that relationship. But let's say that I did, and there are plenty of people that have, and that do. And you do something wrong, and then suddenly you're enemies with that conscience. And so then you try to turn wrong into right, and right into wrong. And that's everyone that's playing God in their own mind has to do that, has to drive a wedge between themselves and their conscience, because that conscience is invading their privacy. Somehow that conscience is making them feel bad. It's invading their privacy. So then what is the idea of privacy? Then you have, I've got my other friends here, my slimy friends that are going to help me agree that wrong is right and right is wrong. And we're all going to kind of idolize something, people, places, and things. We're going to kind of, have our own little group worship going on, idolizing something, and, or many things. And so I'm going to show one face to them, and they're not going to see. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't know what's going on. And you have... That goes on all the time. People are, especially with, people that are, there's lots of hypocrites. They'll present one face to the world, yet there's something else going on behind the mask. The mask that they show the public. So, let's say, you've committed an abortion. So, just to pick something out of the air, you've committed adultery, and so then you either want the public to believe that adultery is really good. It's really good to be an adulterer, It's really good to shack up. It's really good to kill your baby. It's really, you know, it's really a noble thing to kill your child, because it was going to be unwanted anyway. It's just an unwanted byproduct of sex. Just a little biological tadpole looking thing, and it's not a human being, and so therefore we're all going to agree that it's not a human being, and therefore I'm noble, and we'll all agree that wrong is right and right is wrong. But then there's still a problem, because that conscience, you never really can get rid of it. You never really can escape from it. It just, you try to find bigger wedges all the time, but it gets worse. It becomes bigger, it becomes badder. And then if you think someone is, someone's watching you, well, why do you care if someone's watching you? Why do you care if, you know, you think someone's looking at through your stuff, or they know what you're watching, or they know what your, you know, what your interests are? Why are you so worried about it? You know, so it's privacy is kind of an interesting concept to think about. Privacy from what? Are you have private information, private thoughts? And are those thoughts really private? If that conscience is there with you, which it is, whether you like it or not, it's there. Are those thoughts really so private after all? And so what is privacy? Is it simply you're keeping stuff hidden from the group? The group is giving you their approval, and you're keeping stuff hidden from the group so that kind of keeping it hidden behind your public mask, so that everyone will think well of you. Is that what it is? Because I think that's what it is for a lot of people. It's the idea of privacy is sort of a nebulous concept. So, but I don't know. Now I continue to deliberately not watch news, but I still know what's going on, and I still have people telling me. They'll still send me news stories. And they're still occasionally telling me what's going on. So I still know what's going on, even though I'm not, I'm deliberately not watching anything. Or I still know what's going on. Of course, right now you've got a bunch of sort of trumped up things having to do with the state of Indiana. And some pizza parlor, Memories Pizza Parlor. See, I even know the name of it. In some town, some little town in Indiana, the local, you know, reporter went and kind of ask them a hypothetical question. Well, would you cater your pizza to a gay wedding? Well, how many weddings do you know of where they cater pizza to it? I've never heard of such a thing. And of course, those people made the mistake of answering the question. They should have simply, when the reporter comes knocking on your business door, or your door in general, when the reporter comes, just tell them, get away. I don't talk to reporters. Just, you know, go your own way and just get out of here. I have no, you know, don't want you. You're unwanted. You're an unwanted tissue mass as a reporter. But they made the mistake of honestly answering the question, and I don't know what they said exactly, but I'm sure they must have said that they wouldn't cater to their pizza to a gay wedding, is probably what they said. And then the reporter reported it, and then it blew up, because the news media likes to blow things up, and then these people have probably been receiving death threats, and their phones ringing off the hook, and they had to close their business down. So you can make some observations about this. Why is it? Were these people really worried that why would the bullies, and in this case the people that were making the death threats and their calling and so on and so forth, and demonizing them, they're the bullies, and so therefore why are they doing that? Is it because they really think that somebody's going to get denied pizza? Of course not. They're trying to make an example of these people. They're angry, of course, the bullies are. They're angry that they're very unhappy people, and they really they just want to chew somebody up. Kind of like an angry beast. But they're not, what you have to understand, these people aren't in charge. They cannot think logically. Something else is in charge of them. The all who sin, S-I-N, dust that word off, all who sin are what? They're slaves, S-L-A-V-E-S. And that is absolutely true. So that a bully, if you got this nature in you, you got this nature in you, and you, whatever your sin is, and it, in this case they're talking about gay marriage or whatever, which I think the whole thing is silly on both sides. If I had any kind of a cake business or whatever, the idea that you're going to control someone else's behavior, you're not going to sell them a cake because it somehow violates your morality, that's kind of really silly. Let's be honest. That's plastic, fake, and phony. So in a sense, it's kind of understandable. These people have probably been raised by plastic, fake, and phony people, parents, if their parents were even around, and probably in probably 50% of the cases, there's not even any parents that are around that have raised these angry people, these that have turned into angry bullies, kind of a mob mentality. There's about a 50% chance that they don't have any dad, don't know who dad is, or if dad's just some sort of lowlife, just a sperm donor. One night shack up. Mom's on welfare and God knows what else. And so then on the other side of the coin, you have these people that are, the gay activists in this case. And it's not just the gay activists. There's a whole host of people that have sympathy. They're all kind of sympathetic on that side of the equation. But they're equally wrong. They're equally possessed. And so they see this hypocrisy because they see the plastic, fake, and phony people. And so then it becomes a contest to see who can, who can make the other person more miserable? To a certain extent, it becomes kind of a contest, and so then they start having fun. Well, we're gonna force you to cater a cake to us or whatever. And if you won't do it, if you refuse to do it, then we're gonna sue you for discrimination. You're discriminating. You're hurting us somehow by not selling us a cake or making a cake for us. And of course those other people, the fake and phony people, kind of react, so they evolve out of each other. The left evolves out of the right, and then the crazy right evolves out of the crazy left, and each one of them becomes more and more insane. And then of course what happens, eventually warfare erupts, bloodshed happens. How does that happen? That's how it happens, right there. because both sides, and it doesn't matter whether you end up on the left or the right. It makes not one whit of difference whether you end up on the left or the right. Because if you don't have that relationship with your Creator, then the other force, that evil, devil, whatever you want to call it, has you. Whether you're on the left or the right, doesn't care. Because its job is to sort of tease out the wrong side of your ego. And so these are just really, they're kind of non-stories. And as I said, if a reporter comes calling, you know, it's at this point, it's time to, as insane as our society has become, as separated as people have become overall from any kind of conscience. As much as people have driven a wedge between themselves and their conscience, we have an insane society. Absolutely bonkers. So it's time at this point to just stay away from those people. Don't even talk to them. They're insane. Whether they're on the one side or the other, they're insane. They have no grounding. They're grounding because they've driven a wedge. They've driven a wedge between themselves and their conscience. And it doesn't matter if they're on the left and they're actively trying to be the opposite, or they think they're on the right and they've got the truth and they wrap themselves in Bible verses and yet somehow they're insane and they're angry. And they're resentful, and that's the thing that they both have in common, because that's how we separate ourselves to sort of play God in our own minds. Once they've done that, once you have resentment, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you want to admit that you have it or not, or you try to turn it into something positive, you know, think, well, it's good, you know, resentment is good, because then look at Mothers Against Drunk Driving, because they've channeled their negative energy into something positive, you know, and that gobbledygook. What you have to realize is that there is no meaning in life for those that play God. If you're separated from your Creator, and you know, and these may just seem like they're just empty words to you. You know, I'm saying them. I know what I'm thinking. I know what those words mean to me. But if you're separated from the real God, to be your own God, your life has no meaning. It's empty. You may think you have the illusion of some kind of meaning, but in the end, it's empty. And furthermore, you end up, you're enslaved to idolatry. And idolaters, of course, require demons. People, what do they demonize? Same thing that they resent, people, places, and things. So you demonize people, places, and things. And it you know, and you end up with a bunch of warring egos. And finally, if there's no intervention, everyone would end up being dead. There'd be no human being left. So you can kind of turn that around. to eliminate conscience, meaning must be driven out of existence. So, and that includes people that even claim that, you know, whether they have meaning in their lives or not, there's plenty, you know, there's lots of Christians in particular claim that they have meaning in their lives. Now, I don't, you know, I can't really, I don't have any kind of special viewer to kind of view their into their soul to see if they really have meaning or not. But, you know, you take it at face value and say they do. But even if they're just claiming that they have meaning, or they even have, it's a relative thing, they have more meaning than someone that is farther gone, you know, then it becomes kind of a relative thing, then they're relatively innocent, kind of the shades of gray type thing, because then it kind of does become sort of more of a sliding scale. Find someone that's worse than you are, you know, if the someone that's worse than you are is going to look at you as kind of a drag on their conscience, or sort of a drag on them. You're causing their conscience to ache, in a sense. And so then what you have, you know, these in this case, the people that want, you know, they think somehow they're going to be happy if they have gay marriage, and they're able to, so they want to force that down everybody's throat. But then at the same time, they think, well, you know, these people claim to be happy. They claim they've got their religion, and they claim that they have meaning in their lives. And we can't have that. I'm miserable. Everybody else has to be miserable, too. And there is that effect where people want, so they have to drive meaning out. They feel they're under a compulsion, in fact, to drive meaning out of, you know, drive as much meaning out of life as possible. And that ends up becoming that is a bottomless pit, because it's all relative. How deep, you know, there is no limit as to far as how deep human beings can sink, how far they can be separated from their creator. There is no limit. So, or that, you know, for practical purposes. So, they're under a compulsion. Then the people that are in their group, their little I'm okay, you're okay group, they think, they have to start trying to drive out as much meaning as they can. And so then they've taken over the school system, and they've destroyed marriage to a large extent. Made all kinds of perversions, destroyed the nuclear family as much as possible, destroyed family life, 50% of kids, and that's one of the reasons why we're seeing the society fall apart now, is because the people that are really pushing it, or they're really behind it, they were the statistics a number of years ago. They were the casualties of the deliberate destruction of the so-called nuclear family, and the deliberate perversion of the school system, the public school system. So at this point, there is no recovering from it. That I can see. So, but it's all pretty much a mess. But so, what do you do to protect yourself from it? How can you protect yourself from insane people? And even if it's not a group of people that's insane, that you don't have to worry about them. But what if it's a family member? And in many cases, it can be a family member that's just absolutely crazy. They're insane. They're completely crazy and insane. And how do you protect yourself from them? How do you, what do you do about that? Is there a way of protecting yourself from them? And the answer is, yes, there is. All you really have to do is allow your conscience to catch what you know of as a guilty conscience. Allow that conscience to catch up with you. Allow your creator to catch up with you. Whatever our creator is, and it's some kind of force that is at the very root of matter and energy. Some kind of force that's the very root of what animates us, of what gives us life as human beings. That force is there. Now, if you're an ordinary energy or an ordinary piece of matter, then you, or even an ordinary animal, you're just governed by whatever the rules you're governed by, and that's it. And you do what you do, and that's that. And, you know, so a dog, for example, or a cow, or a dolphin, or whatever, or a tree, or a planet, or a star somewhere, or a galaxy. All it is simply, it's matter and energy kind of operating according to a set of rules. There's one exception to that we know of, and that's human beings. And we have, even though we have these animal bodies that are very, within maybe a couple of percentage points of the DNA of your favorite chimpanzee, or, you know, pick some other monkey. Very similar genetically. Yet there's one thing that, the biggest thing is that we as human beings, we have this extra awareness. We're conscious of our own existence. And we're conscious of right and wrong. And it's not dictated to us. We know the difference between right and wrong. We're sort of born knowing the difference between right and wrong, whether you like that or not. But we don't, it's not forced on us. It's sort of a latent, in the past I've called it kind of a latent set of ethics. We sort of know what we should do, what the right thing is to do, and then we'll go to great lengths in order to play God. We'll go to great lengths to try to twist it around so that right is wrong and wrong is right, and we kind of feel justified, whatever the hell that means, and we'll go to really great lengths to kind of try to feel right about that, to try to fight off that conscience. You know, what we think of, it's just a guilty conscience. And so people think that, they really do think that it's just society programmed it. And, I've heard all the things, and that's really the way people think, that a lot of these people think. They think that it's just a matter of, it's all a matter of programming, and all we have to do is just reprogram everyone to think that wrong is right and right is wrong, and everything, and we're all going to live happily ever after. And of course we won't, because the meaning is then taken out. There's real meaning, and real meaning revolves around doing the right thing, whatever the right thing is, and real meaning revolves around having an intact, functional nuclear family. Whether you like that or not, that's what the real meaning in part revolves around. And then the other part of that, the real meaning comes from being friends with your conscience. And that's all there is. There is no meaning beyond that. You take that relationship away, whatever it is that animates us, whatever it is, it's at the very core of what we are, as pieces of matter, as energy kind of interacting with matter, as whatever life is, whatever causes these chemical processes to happen, whatever causes us to be conscious. That's at the very core. We have a choice as human beings. We've been given a choice. We can either, we don't have to perform like, you know, monkey is just a sophisticated robot, kind of a sophisticated learning robot in a very real sense. Human being, different story, because we have this extra awareness that the monkey just doesn't have. And it cannot have. So, angry people, resentful people, who've managed to ruin, they've managed to ruin their ability to accurately perceive reality. They want to force other people to perceive things the same way that they do, and of course, thinking, as I say, they're thinking erroneously that it's going to help them feel better about themselves, and it won't. Their real problem is that they can't get rid of that pesky conscience. It's there, and they just can't get rid of it. And in fact, everything they do makes it worse. And a very real form of insanity kind of ensues. So how do you insulate yourself from that? It's very simple. You become friends with your conscience. Because all of this stuff, all of the whole purpose of evil is to bring those of us to a state that and that's a mystery as to who, but the purpose of evil is to allow us to sort of explore where the wrong thing goes, sort of explore where playing God, you know, the kind of the mess that it gets us into and the misery that it gets us into. It allows us that opportunity. That's why it exists. So if you want real immunity from the insanity of other people, the insanity, the sheer insanity of being sensitive to words. Look, how many people around us are sensitive to words? You just call someone a name, and it ruins their day. Or even if they think you're thinking of them the wrong way, somehow it hurts them. How can it be? How can it be that it hurts someone's feelings if they even think someone believes that two women getting married is wrong, or two men getting married is wrong somehow, or taking it away from that they've murdered their baby? Or that they've shacking up is wrong. Committing adultery is wrong. Stealing from your neighbor is wrong. even if you're trying to dress it up and saying, you know, in the form of socialism, where right's wrong and wrong's right. It's wrong. Stealing is wrong. I'm sorry. It's wrong. How can people be so, you know, sensitive to words? It's a form of insanity. So, if you'd like to be immune from that, it's very easy. You allow your creator to catch up with you. You allow your conscience, what you've known as this guilty conscience, you allow that to catch up with you. You go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. There's about 4 files that I have hosted there on my server. You can, they're MP3 files. You can download them, burn them to CD, put them on your MP3 player, put them on your phone, play them on your computer, tablet, however you want to do it. Stream them. Those files will teach you a very simple meditation technique. There's a line in the Bible, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is a very simple way of practicing being still. And this meditation will show you, among other things, it'll show you that we have a tendency to think that we are our thoughts. And we are not our thoughts. Whatever we are as human beings, we have this one thing we have is this point of awareness that can kind of be aware of one thing at a time. And meditation, if you learn to meditate, it will show you beyond any shadow of a doubt that this point of awareness is not whatever you are as a point of awareness. You are not your thoughts. It's possible to be aware apart from the machinery of the brain. You know, the thoughts are kind of occurring in the brain, however that happens. But we as human beings have a separate point of awareness. And most of us are lost. We're just hopelessly lost in the same old thoughts. They just go around and around and around. If he says this, then I'll do that. I'm mad about this, and I'm mad about that, and what should I do about this, and what I'm upset about this, etc., etc., etc. So if you can learn to, our creator is in the moment. God is not in the future, not in the past, but all there really is the present moment. That's where the Creator is. That's where God is. And in a sense, it's almost like kind of stepping out into the, you know, you've heard it described as the light, kind of stepping out into the light, step into the sunshine. You know, if you have a pile of dung, you know, the sun comes out and it dries it up and it turns it back into sweet earth. It's that simple. So, that's on my website. Give it a try. I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe it will help most people. If you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue it. I can't, you know, doing it once that's not enough. You got to continue with it. You got to be motivated. I can't be your motivation. So, anyway, I think I'm going to cut this off. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to. to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.